But I want you to understand what where the brothers are. We work hard to make it look like, God, if it wasn't for her, if it wasn't for you giving me her, then I would have been all right. I never would have gone to that store. I would have been okay if you hadn't taken her from me, if you hadn't taken her out of my sight and created her. That's what he was saying. And how dare us, in our arrogance, male and female, accuse God and make it look like, try to manipulate the situation to look as if though it's God's fault. This is as a result of shopping in Kojé. We're going to come out of that store, ain't we? Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. I'm almost finished. Now, the Lord was giving me some interesting things for us in our shopping, some of the stuff that we've done. And he kind of liked it. I had to throw some sports in there. I'm sorry, sisters. I had to get some sport in there. There are times when we're in that store and we start getting beat up by that knowledge of what's good and evil because it starts to actually look like God is unfair. And like, remember back when we first got saved, before you got saved and you were just kind of wrestling with the devil. In fact, the Lord kind of gave it to me this way. Living before you get saved, it's like you dance with the devil. You're just dancing and look like everything is fine. But see, after a while, you get tired. You know, I want to sit down. He says, no, you can't sit down. I'm tired. He said, no, you can't. Please let me stop. No, you can't. And then the attitude ain't sweet no more. No, you ain't sitting down. But please let me go. Please, I'm so tired of it. I'm tired of my mess. No, you are not sitting down. And what started off as a nice waltz is now you being jerked around. Oh, Lord, please, God, send me somebody to get me off this dance floor. And Jesus shows up. Hallelujah. And he doesn't ask. He says, I'm cutting in. And he picks us up off the dance floor and carries us. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? That's how it is when we get saved. Another example is like wrestling. Here's my sport. Wrestling is real big now. All the young guys, well, we love all this wrestling, don't we? Yeah, women too. I see somebody clapping. Yeah, love wrestling. And so you were just in this, you thought it was playing and make-believe like the way wrestling is now. Y'all know that's make-believe, don't you? I didn't bust nobody's bubble then. What you mean, make-believe? So you just kind of toss around playing and everything, and he was doing all those, I don't even know what they call all those moves. And you was playing with the devil too, and then one day he hit you for real. You went, I thought we was playing. And then he pins you down. He like, get up. Get up off me. And they count three. One, two, three. You go, okay, it's over. No, it ain't. He keeps you pinned down. And the count stops, and you can't get up. And he won't get up off of you. And there we are on the canvas screaming again. Please, somebody get this fool off me. And Jesus comes in again. Picks the devil up off of you. Body slams him down to... holds him down, count of three, and instead of Jesus getting up and saying he's the winner, he goes over to you and lifts your arms and says, you're the winner. And so then we all excited and happy now, so we come into the church and we get all geared up, we start getting some training and everything, we like Rocky. Y'all see the first Rocky, and he was running through the streets of Philadelphia, and everybody was cheering him on. Da, 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 da. And we so happy, man. I'm saved. I'm born again, filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. Thank you, Lord. And so then we go in to fight Apollo Creed. That's one of the demons of lust and fear and stuff that's in our life. And we go into the ring, and we all set, and the bell rings, gling, gling, and we come out there, and we go, boom. And we come back to the thing, come back to the side and go, he hit me. I thought And that fruit of the knowledge of good and evil starts to kick in. Is that if God is fair, then why did he let you get knocked out? If God is so just, then how come you still ain't overcome that yet? Oh. And so one of the brothers or sisters comes along and encourages us and gives us the word of the Lord, you know, splashing water on your face. That's the word of the water, or the water of the word splashing on your face. All right, get back out there. You got to go fight. So we go back out there and we fight, and then we get in a blow. Boom, boom. Oh, this is good. You start smiling at the audience. Saints, I'm doing fine. I'm just... Boom, boom. We like Muhammad Ali. It's, oh, this is wonderful. And then the enemy pins us up in the corner, and you start getting tired. You know, you're trying to fight your way out of the corner, and the coaches, trainers over on the side, Holy Spirit saying, get out the corner. Get out. That's the worst thing you can do in boxing. Don't get caught up in the corner. You say, okay, I'm trying to get out, but I can't get out the corner, because the enemy's over there asking you questions. If God loves you, then how come you still ain't got no job? Boom. If God loves you, then how come all your money's gone? Boom. God loves you. How come Brother Ted keep getting up talking about tithing and you ain't got no money? Boom, boom. Fruit of that knowledge starts to kick in again. You just drop your gloves and go, I'm tired of fighting. Boom, 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 boom. I'm tired of fighting. I don't want to fight no more. I don't want to fight no more. And then we get back to the sideline. Thank the Lord, the bell rings before the round is over. We sit over on the sideline. We're all bloodied up and beat up and bruised and everything. I'm tired of fighting. God ain't right. This ain't fair. They hitting hard out there. This is for real. And the trainer of the Holy Spirit says, I told you that before you went out there, that you was in a fight. That you was in a war. You're surprised? What do you think all that running through the streets? What do you think all that was for? I thought we was just gonna take pictures and look good. You mean to tell me I'm supposed to really fight? And when my arms get tired and I don't feel like that, I'm supposed to swing and really hit him back, even though I know he's going to hit me again if I swing back? Yeah. But God, if you was fair, you would just step into the ring. See, fruit of that knowledge of good and evil. If God is fair, see, that's what he was telling that woman while she was shopping in Kojé. See, God is holding out on you. He didn't tell you nothing about this stuff in this store, because he knew that if you knew about it, you would be like him. You'd be like him if you really know what's going on. So back to the ring. So he's sitting up in the ring and you're upset. And all of us come to that point. Every single one of us. We all do. You come to that point where, okay, am I going to fight or am I going to give up? But something about the Holy Spirit, that trainer. Y'all know that trainer that Rocky had? Come on, Rock. He won't even let you give up, does he? Come on, Rock, you can do it. But I'm tired, and I don't want to go back there. He's trying to kill me. Oh, he's getting tired of you, Rock. He's getting tired. He the one who tired, not you. Come on, you got faith like steel. Set your face like a flint. Come on, Rock. And that's what the Lord is speaking to us. Yeah, but see, all this stuff that I know, because I went shopping in that store. God is not fair. That ain't right, Rock. God's trying to show you who you really are. He's trying to show you that there ain't nothing. There ain't nothing that can come in that ring that you ain't already defeated. In fact, that thing walked into that ring scared of you. And it is counting upon you to do one thing. Just quit. Because it knows something about this fight. Go ahead, I heard y'all say it. This fight is fixed. See, God don't have no time limit on the rounds. It ain't 15 rounds and whoever's got the most points. We keep on fighting round after round after round after round until we win. You mean to tell me you can go 16 rounds, 17, 18, 19, 20, 40, 60, we'll keep right on fighting until we win. Which tells us something. Well, let's get this over in one round then. If it's going to go on that long, if it's just going to go on until I win, so that's what the enemy don't want you to know. He cannot win. He cannot win. He cannot win. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. God is awesome in the way he's prepared us for this day and this time. All of us have been some rounds in all of our different experiences and churches that we're coming from and backgrounds and careers and life's experiences. And so it's all of a sudden it's like being called up into a new league or how can I put this? It's like all of a sudden finding yourself in the biggest mall you ever seen in your life and having to make some decisions and some choices. I remember while I was at Oral Roberts University, he told us a story about Arabian horses who were trained to always to respond to the master's whistle. Different types of whistles were different types of signals for them to obey and command. And one of the signals meant, come to the master. No matter what you're doing, stop what you're doing and come to me. And so when the last and final test in their training of these horses was that, the test of obedience to the master, no matter what. And so the final test that all the horses were given was to make them run and run and run until they were tired and thirsty, and then lead them to some water. And these tired, hot, thirsty, almost foaming at the mouth horses, they lead them to the water, and just when they're about to put their mouth in the drink, they blow the whistle. And the only ones that passed the test were the ones who would pass up their desire. They earned the right to drink that water, but they passed up their privilege and their right to obey the master. And when that whistle blew, turn away from the water and come back to the master. Those are the only ones who passed the test. And so the Lord has us in this mall where you got all kinds of stores you can shop in, and with all the stuff and the rounds we've been, hey, it's time for me to shop. But we walk into a store and he says, don't touch that. Not only does he say, don't go in Koje, but even in the stores that you allowed you to go into, he says, but you don't need everything in that store. Because of where I'm taking you, here's what you need. It don't make much sense to go out and buy, you know, some 5-inch high heel spike shoes if you're getting ready to go out marching in the wilderness. You know, we're getting ready to go march around Jericho. Stand, you know, we're ready to fight, so I'm going to go get me some heels. Because I earned these with all the stuff I've been through. We're ready to go march in the desert. I'm getting me some furs. I earned this. What you going to look like while we out in the middle of 102 degrees, but I got my fur? Or we go into the car store and finally you can get that car you always wanted. But when you get shipped overseas, you're in the middle of a desert storm or something like that. Driving your Benz out in the middle of the desert with Saddam Hussein gunning. Yeah, right. So it's not even a matter of if whether you earned it or not. It's are we willing to obey the master. That was the test for Adam in the beginning. When I give you all of these choices and I tell you there's only one thing you can't touch, will you obey me? And when I bring you into greater maturity, here's a bunch of things that you can touch. But at the time that I say don't touch it, will you obey me? I believe that that's a call to us as a local church. That's really a call to the church in this city and in this nation. Great wealth and prosperity has been in the hands of the church. Would you agree? We've seen them grow 2, 3, 5, 10, 7,000 membership, pastors prospering, all kinds of things. But God began to send his judgment. Why? because he wanted our hearts. He didn't want our hearts to be after riches and things. So that, and I'm convinced of it to this day, so that he can trust us with the greater wealth. The greater wealth is souls. The greater wealth is in people. The greatest investment any of us can ever make is not in any stock, not in any mutual fund or bond. The greatest investment that all of us could ever make is in another life. And God is bringing us to the point where we're hot, tired, thirsty, just like those horses. And I've been running all day. Sound like the old Pentecostal song. I've been running, running, running. Lord, I'm running. Trying to make 100. 99 and a half won't do. Some of y'all saying it with me. You remember that. And you've been running a long time. I've been running. That's another song. I've been running a long time. So we feel like, okay, now it's time for me to get some drink. Now, I didn't come to Metro. It's time to drink. I'm tired, Lord. I've been in all this religion and denomination and dunk. I earned it. God blows the whistle. Says, come here. Why? Because I got something I want you to carry. It's not time to relax yet. And here's one of the things that they did for those horses. I waited till now to tell you. After they obeyed the master, then they gave them all the water they wanted. Because the issue was obedience. I'm not going to withhold from you what you need. Those horses needed that water. But I want your obedience. I don't ever want anything to come between you and me. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless your name. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. So I say this to you, young people especially, and anyone in this room that does not know the Lord. With all the things that are happening in this world today, you ain't got time to gamble. You don't have time to shop. You'll never make it through all the stores. And when you shop in Koj, you're really getting in trouble. So why don't we do it the Lord's way? You've been searching, trying to find out what is your destiny, what is your purpose. Some of you know exactly what it is that God has called you to do and to be. But you're still trying to hang out there and shop. But are you willing to take that gamble? Please don't let me have to stand up here and preach your funeral because you didn't listen today. Please don't let the people of God have to mourn your death. See, because when a saint dies, we're upset and hurt because they've left us temporarily. They are with the Lord in glory. But when you don't know God, when you don't have relationship with him through Jesus, and you leave this planet, we're not hell, fire, and brimstone preachers, but I want you to know hell is a terrible place. It grieves our heart. You know, when we heard about Bob Richardson, I remember when I told Brother Robert and his eyes filled up with tears. Such a great, awesome talent. The whole city loves him. But did he know God? When that plane crashed, did he go into eternity with a relationship with Jesus Christ? Because if he didn't today, right now, at this very moment, his soul is in torment. His soul is in the flame, the fire, and the agony of hell. And the word of the Lord says that the worm dies not. In other words, you're screaming, begging to die, but you can't die because you've already died. It's that real. And it's that view of eternity that God wants to arrest your attention with. Young people, when you get so upset and you're restless and you can't understand why things are like they are, and you look at your parents, you look at me or Pastor Ray and some of the other leaders in the church or teachers at school, and we as adults ain't are talking one thing, but we're living another, and it looks like we're just a bunch of phonies too. You be real. Don't leave this planet sacrificing your soul. You be real. Be what you're looking for. You're looking for somebody, you're looking for something real, then you be real. All of us in this room, get rid of that excuse there's too many hypocrites. If you're tired of hypocrites, then don't be one. There's an easy solution to being tired of hypocrites. Don't be one. Because when you're burning in hell, There is a whole lot of folks in hell right now who was tired of hypocrites. They did not make the decision that they needed to make. Even the folks, when they all stand before the Lord in the great white throne judgment, they're going to have all kinds of reasons. Please don't be in that crowd. You do know from your eternal judgments teaching that we have in the house as a difference between the great white throne judgment and the judgment seat of Christ. And those of us who know the Lord will be before the judgment seat of Christ as the Lord judges our works after we got saved. So if we're all up in heaven and you find yourself standing in that line and there's a great white throne, you'll be looking over at us and go, oh no. I'm in the wrong line. Hey, see, I went to Metro every week. I was in youth meeting. I was there. Sometimes I lifted my hands when Johnny said, don't wait for a feeling. And you'll stand before the Lord and he'll say, I don't know you. I never knew you. I can't imagine. I'm not trying to make you scared, but I sense the Lord's evangelistic zeal upon me today. I guess it's coming down from the pastor. I can't imagine standing in eternity. You got to understand eternity. It ain't like time and space now, where you got another chance, where they can change their mind and we can, you know, get an appeal. It's final. And he says, I don't know you, and I never knew you. I can't imagine what that would be like. I don't fear it because, oh, I know him. And he knows me. But I tell you, one of the things that helps me, you see this zeal that you see in me and people like Brother Ron, Sister Angela, we want souls. We want, because every once in a while, if you stop and think how terrible hell is, ain't that right, Brother Ron? You stop and think how terrible it is. You can't sit back and just let people go. And the enemy wants to keep us shopping in Kojays so that we'll never go and do what we're here to do. We're here to live our lives to the praise of God's glory and the pleasure of God's will. And those of you who don't know the Lord, I'm telling you today, my heart is out for especially you young people. You come in here every week. You listen to Pastor Ray and you listen to me. And every once in a while you come to youth meeting and you're just kind of being cool. But I'm telling you, don't end up in that crowd I sung about where the enemy does a drive-by on you, both in the natural and in the spirit, and you the next one taken out. I feel this today. God is after your life. The game time is over. The game time is over. God wants you. And all the stuff that's in your heart to do, all the things that are in your heart to accomplish with your life, it's not going to happen by shopping in Kojays. It ain't going to happen that way. Jesus said, this is life. To know God and to know his son. And you know, while I'm standing here today, this ain't about religion. See, you're sitting there and you're thinking now, see, if I do this, then that means I ain't gonna have no girlfriend. That means I'm gonna have to stop drinking. I'm gonna have to stop partying and running around with folks. See, the devil, come on, parents and adults, he tried that lie on us too, didn't he? All the stuff I'm gonna have to give up if I get saved. But I'm telling you, ain't gonna be no fine women in hell. Hell ain't the party that the videos tell you it is. Every once in a while they'll do a video and show hell as just a jumping party in place. Yeah, hey, hey, oh, hey. That ain't hell. One of our rappers here in the church wrote a song, said, hell ain't the place for eternal vacation. It ain't the place to be. It's horrible. Again, I ain't trying to scare, yes I am. I'm trying to scare hell out of you. But I ain't trying to put earthly fear. I want the fear of the Lord in you. A reverence for God so that you understand there is more to this life than just what's happening to you right now. Why do you see us adults struggling the way you do? Because that's where we live. We live in the reality now that life is very short. You know, once we start hitting those 30s and 40s, it starts to dawn upon us that we are now the age of those grown people. And we used to say grown, didn't we? And those people who were grown to us are elderly, or some of them are already gone. And so we realize very plainly and very real that time is really, really short. Life is just what the word of the Lord says. It's like a vapor. It's like steam. Any of y'all ever seen steam come out of a pot, coffee pot or teapot? You see it for just that moment, and the higher it goes up, it just dissipates. That's how fast life is. Stop and think about it. How old are you now? You're 15, 16. Remember how you felt back when you were 5 and 6? You go, man, that wasn't that long ago. Yeah, that's how you're going to feel when you're 25. And you look back and you was 15, you go, man, that was quick. And when you're 35, you go, man. And then when you're 45, you go, wait a minute. I was just 15. You wonder why you see some adults still trying to dress like you? Because it went by so fast. We was 15, we went to sleep one night, and when we woke up, I was 35. And now you calling me sir, and Mr. Green. I'm like, wait a minute. I looked in the mirror in my hair. I used to have an afro. Y'all call them bobs today. They afros to us. The time goes just that quick. Look at all the people you see in sports in Hollywood dying off just like that. It ain't no game, y'all. So come on, let's do it God's way. There ain't nothing that you give up. See, God will help you get rid of that thinking that you got to have a gangsta be. The young people know what I just said. I want me a gangsta be. I ain't going to say the word in church. Now the adults just picked up on what I said. And God will give you a godly wife. There ain't nothing that you won't give up in this life that God won't return to you hundredfold. There is no replacement for what God will do in your life. Some of you look at us older ones, my wife and I, you see our children. You see, you know, I drive a decent van. I make a decent salary. We live in a decent house. And some of you said, well, that's all I want. I ain't trying to be rich and famous and go for all the big famous stuff. And I just want to normal, regular life. Here's the deception of the enemy. Have you shopping in Kojays? You'll spend the rest of your life just trying to, all I want is just a regular job, a regular wife, ain't no such thing. I just want just a regular family life, and you'll never get it. Whatever is the thing that you desire, Satan will, like they used to do with horses. They used to lead horses by putting some sugar cubes or some type of food in front of their faces and just lead them, because the only thing they're watching is what they want. They want that food. They want that sugar. So the horse just keeps being led and led and led by watching what he wants. And don't you know that while the enemy is leading you like that, you're so busy following what you want, you don't see hell right in front of you where he's leading you to. You never get it. And so what you do, just like the horses do, then they start walking faster to get to it, because they think that if I walk faster, then I'll get it. And so then you do it. You start running faster. And so next thing you know, you're in high school, you're sophomore year, junior year, senior year, and you're out of high school, and you ain't learned nothing, ain't done nothing, because you're still chasing what you want. Then it's college years, and you're still chasing. Then you start running, because in your 20s, then you got some speed. I'm gonna do this, I don't have to, see? And that independence thing from that Kojak, that independence. So my mother and father, they don't know what they're talking about anyway. They ain't got it. So I'm gonna get it. I'm gonna get all the stuff that they never got. See, because you see them trying to do it the Lord's way, it seems like the Lord's way, you end up in that boxing ring I talked about. And they getting all beat up. So that ain't happening to me. So when you walk fast, you run it. I'm going to get it. And the only thing you are doing is heading just that much faster to the enemy's destination for your life. And God is saying, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Come back to me. That's what repent means. It means turn around and come back to me. Come on, saints, let's just pray today. I believe the Lord is speaking. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah.